Dear people of God, who compare all things a complete loss for the sake of knowing the surpassing greatness of Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen. Watching a dog chase its tail can provide some pretty solid entertainment until you realize that that dog is not only literally chasing his tail, but is also metaphorically chasing his tail, because at the end of that ravenous chase, there's nothing but an empty, hollow, meaningless reward, and your laughter quickly turns from gleeful exuberance to just, he has no idea what he's doing. And you just feel kind of sorry for him. And now as I'm preaching this out loud, it sounded so much better in my head to turn that analogy of a dog chasing its tail and compare it to people. It sounded better and it looked better on paper than what it does out loud. And I'm not saying that people are dogs, but the object is the same. The metaphor is consistent to humans too. Because so many times, people chase after things that they think will give them a rewarding experience or provide some sort of genuine substance to their life. And that's what they're desperately hoping for. Only that chase is meaningless. People try to make themselves feel better by following some form of highly humanistic philosophy that trumpets the accomplishments of man, and all that ends up really doing is giving them an opportunity to be self-congratulatory. And that's easy to do when people see them sticking to whatever this philosopher, or more likely this day and age, whatever this blogger or Pinterest article says. They stick to that and people say, oh, good for you. Good job. Keep doing that. And they do. Feels good in the short term. It feels like they are doing something productive. But that chase is completely meaningless. People will stick to and adhere to a religion that has X number of rules governing external appearance or governing diet, because they think that if I just do this as strictly as possible, then maybe I'll be okay, because I'm doing something. That chase is also completely meaningless. And to the eyes and to the ears of the world, labeling those pursuits for what they are, worthless, empty, meaningless, hollow, sounds like one of the most hateful, even bigoted things that we as believers can do, when in reality it's one of the most loving, because we know the truth. We know that there's only one Lord, one gospel, one Savior. That one and only is Jesus. Paul learned that. It took him a little while, though. For most of Paul's life, he, like masses and masses of other people from his time before and since, have been trying to do, they try to make themselves feel good. They think that they're earning some type of righteousness by sticking to a very strict series of rules, and Paul did that better than anybody. Paul was a Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews, he says in the verses right before our text, and where legalistic righteousness is concerned, well, he was a Pharisee. He was winning. He was better than everybody else. But Paul says, as he eventually came to learn, that that previous way of life was completely meaningless. It was empty. That type of righteousness, which many strive for, even though they don't realize that it's completely impossible to attain. That's what it is, because one sin, one slip, one mistake is all it takes to lose that righteousness. And if people think that they haven't messed up, even once, even one little thing, they're lying to themselves. It is impossible for we as sinful people to do anything in and of ourselves that God would be pleased with us. And pursuing that, the ravenous chase that people oftentimes dedicate their whole entire lives to, well, that chase should be abandoned. Punted out the window, flushed down the toilet, turned away from, and we should turn to a different chase, one that's infinitely more rewarding. Chase Christ. Learn Him. Be so filled with Christ that your outlook for everyday life changes, that your outlook for eternity is not one that's based on some sort of uncertainty because you are trying to earn it for yourself, but stands on a sure hope, stands on God's word, because Christ accomplished everything for you. That's what Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. He says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul gets it. Very clearly, Paul understands the surpassing greatness, the extreme value of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. And his words here mirror very clearly what Jesus spoke of in Matthew's gospel when he talks about how if your eye causes you to sin, pluck that thing out. If your hand causes you to sin, chop it off. It's far better for you to enter eternal life maimed then enter hell whole. He says that because nothing is more important than knowing Christ, than knowing that Jesus is your Savior from all sin. Nothing is more important than striving to know that more and more and more, to imitate Christ every single day you have on this earth. You want the very same thing. You want more and more to conform yourself to the likeness of Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Took on the very nature of a servant and became a man and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So strive for that. Chase that, not your tail. Chase Christ with every ounce of strength you have. Be Christ to those around you, in home and in church, not by looking to your own needs, but by looking to the interests and needs of others over and above your own. And if that seems like a tall order, it absolutely is. That is something you are most definitely not going to want to do all the time, because you're a sinner. You're selfish. You're not going to want to look to the needs of and interests of others with that ever selfless, servant-like attitude that Christ has, and sometimes you're outright going to complain about those people that God's placed in your life and in your church. You just will. But you'll repent of those times. You'll fight and struggle and strive against those ways of thinking because you'll have the ultimate source of strength. You have God. Your sinful nature will be crushed by his law and you'll be restored by his gospel. You too, just like everybody else, need to be reminded just as often as everybody else that you can do nothing in and of yourself that God would be impressed with, especially to the point that he should grant you righteousness. That's because you're a sinner. But you're also a sinner who, just like everybody else, just as frequently as everybody else, needs to be reminded that God loved you, that when you were in a completely despicable state, and that's putting it, you know, as mildly as possible, Christ died for you, and Christ forgave all of your sins. You will be restored with the knowledge that your sinful nature has been crucified with Christ, but that unlike Christ, didn't rise again. And what rose again was a new man, eager to imitate God, eager to know Christ more and more. And that is what the gospel creates in you, the drive to more than anything else in this life. The gospel creates the drive to press on, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you, which means you will be pressing on to love. The love of God that's so extreme that it caused him to place himself on a cross and lay down his life for people who didn't deserve it at all. That's love in the truest sense of the word. That's what grace is, and it's that love of God, it's that grace of Jesus that has been sustaining you as you've been doing his work these past years, and it's that love, it's that grace of God that's going to keep on sustaining you as you serve him into the future. The Holy Spirit gives you a very real hunger, a powerful thirst to know Christ, to know so thoroughly the power of his resurrection. And that Holy Spirit will give you the understanding from your diving into Scripture, not just in your study, not just for Bible class or sermon prep, but as you feed yourself, to make you realize more and more every single day that even the struggles of this life and the struggles that you will encounter in ministry, you'll learn what they really are. That they're blessings. And that in spite of whatever's going on in this life, no matter how good, no matter how horrible, that you have your own resurrection to look forward to. Press on to that. Wanting to know Christ. Wanting to make him a part of who you are more and more in every way imaginable. To be further united with him is exactly what Paul is talking about in these verses. And that drive, that desire, it's like a triathlete, right? At the end of the third leg, you know, like swimming, biking, and then a miles and miles long run that just makes me want to cry when I think about how long that is. It's like a triathlete who can see the finish line, you know, maybe another bend and another curve away. He got a glimpse of it, and now it's gone behind some trees or something. He knows it's there. Man, but his legs are on fire. His every breath is like just this burning agony. His whole body just hurts. He feels miserable, completely exhausted, and wants nothing more than to just collapse and throw himself down on the course, which looks surprisingly comfortable right about now. But all of a sudden, a different sort of fire ignites. It's like a primal urge to not stop, to not give up, to not just crumple in the middle of the course and quit. And it's that same drive that the Holy Spirit gives you. A drive to push yourself beyond what you once thought was possible, not relying on your own strength, but relying on God's. And I think it's like a rage, a determination, a stubborn attitude that will not let you give up when the goal of heaven is laid before you. The psalmist described it beautifully when he compared it to a deer, like panting for streams of water, because that psalmist knows what we all here know, that God is absolutely essential for life. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." God's people know what's valuable, what's worth striving for, what's worth chasing after and pursuing, and the joy, the comfort, and the peace they have from the gospel gives them a yearning to press on to that. Just like Jacob said when he was wrestling with God, "I will not let go until you bless me." So too, in the very same way, all of us here say along with the Apostle Paul, "I will not stop. I will not let go until I take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me," which is to say that you'll be pressing on to love. You'll be pressing on to increase your knowledge of Jesus as your Savior. So press on to that, Christians. The gospel gives you that desire, the very primal urge to run with every ounce of strength you have to chase down Christ and make him your own, because you know that the power of the resurrection is yours. You have a burning drive to make him a part of who you are to your very core. Sure, every once in a while, you'll stumble. You'll get sidetracked, and you'll need to be crushed and cut with the law too. You'll need to be reminded from time to time that any type of self-righteousness that thinks it can do something to earn or at least in part help Jesus out a little bit is complete garbage and has no place next to Christ. In fact, as Paul says in our verses here, that everything is complete rubbish compared to the all-surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, your Lord, who delivers salvation and eternal life to you. That's what you have a desire to grab. That's what you have a desire to chase down and grab onto and give a steely yet loving headlock to, because you know where your blessings come from. They come from the Lord. And even when you are blessed, guess what? You're not going to want to let up, because you know that God is your fount of blessing, ever flowing. And that's what goes on in this place. That's what we do here. That's what we're doing here right now. In this building, forgiveness of sins, completely free of charge, is proclaimed to you. Strength from God, encouragement is given and received from God through his word and the sacrament of baptism and communion. But it's also given and received from one another, because let me look around you. You're sitting next to other Christians, people who don't necessarily have the same exact challenges and difficulties, but people who just like you live in a sin-sick world and need the strength that the gospel gives. In this place, the gospel predominates, as it rightly should, because it's the gospel that gives you the drive to know him who gives you true life, to know him more and more who gives your life meaning, to know him who gives you righteousness simply by believing in what he did. The gospel tells you about Christ. From the gospel, you are given the proper perspective, the same one Paul had, that nothing is more important than the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus your Lord. So, say along with the Apostle Paul every single day, "I want to know Christ and be found in him." Take one another by the hand, metaphorically and literally, as the situation calls for it. Forget what's behind. Strain toward what is ahead. Press on toward the prize, toward the goal of heaven, Because you know with joy that God has already given it to you in Christ and is just keeping it there for you, preserving it. Press on to that, brother.